Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to another Rahulastabad Book Club. I'm delighted to be joined by Becky Holmes, internet sensation, who has written a fabulous book called Keanu Reeves Is Not In Love With You. Well, that's for me to reveal whether he is or not. You don't know that. Hello, Becky. Lovely to see you. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I love being referred to as an internet sensation. Fantastic.
You're all over the poke. Every time I look at the poke, it comes up on my Facebook. It's you doing another... Yeah.
No, do you know, hilarious. I think they've got very little content because they seem to repeat my stuff over and over again.
I think, let's not get into what lives they lead where they just look for funny things on the internet and then list them. But thank you very much, The Pope, for doing that. I do enjoy reading them and it's nice to find stuff. So, you know, I had seen a lot of your stuff over the years and lots of things have made me laugh. But let's find out a little bit about you. What were you doing before you became an internet sensation?
I was sort of being an analog, a non-internet sensation in my own flat. I wasn't doing very much. My background is sort of corporate. So I was in, I used to run press offices for financial services. So, God, really different. Although having said that, the fraud world is also full of men in their 50s in pinstripe suits, so the audience is very similar. But I got poorly and I had to give my job up,
right?
So I was kind of living this, I don't know, I guess like a half life, just sort of existing at home and going from one medical appointment to the next. And when I started doing this during lockdown, it was to relieve my own boredom. And it's become this thing that I now live. This is my life, just dicking about on the internet.
Yeah, well, welcome to my world. Yes. I mean, there are some similar, I mean, it's very different. This book is amazing and it's not what you think it's going to be as well, which is what I like about, we'll talk about that later. But, you know, I did a similar thing I mean, I use Twitter a lot, and I will still call it Twitter as well, whatever happens.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think it's dying and it will be gone soon anyway. But
Please don't say that because the book sales I get are going to get through Twitter. So can we just pretend that's not happening?
Well, you know, I feel that it's already, I realise how much business I got through Twitter, and I think it's definitely decreasing. Ooh. Just in terms of clicks and, you know, and raising funds and stuff like that for work and for charity. It's kind of quite sad. Anyway, apart from that, I did my thing on International Women's Day, which I would do every year, where I'd tell men on Twitter, they'd say, when's International Men's Day? And I would tell them for about 10 years. And then I wrote a book about it as well. And it's sort of slightly reminiscent of that. So tell, if people don't know what you do, how did it start? What was the first thing you did, if you can remember? And what is it, would you say that you do on Twitter?
Okay, so I waste people's time on Twitter, but not nice people. I don't just go on and find, you know, somebody lovely and just waste their time. So I, as a lot of women do, and men, get approached by fraudsters on Twitter and Instagram, in fact, and Facebook, and basically anywhere where somebody can approach you. And they are using somebody else's profile, normally somebody who is disgustingly attractive, who, let's face it, are not going to be interested in me, which is how I knew that they were fake to start with. And I try and say the most ridiculous things I can to get them to notice. And because these guys, often English isn't their first language, and they're working kind of from a script to ultimately get money for you, they just don't notice.
Yeah.
And I go as far as I possibly can until I either get blocked or I've had some death threats.
Yes.
So, yeah, basically I do that. I try and get people to block me.
Yeah. And did you did you realise as soon as you did it this was going to be a thing, or were you just sort of killing time and thought, oh, this will be fun to see what happens? And then suddenly, you know, because they are extraordinary. Each one is extraordinary because it plays on that, you know, and that's how the sort of book starts, I have to say. And that's what I love about this book is it starts as one thing and you think, great, I'm happy with this. This is going to be a fun book where a lady takes the piss out of loads of horrible men until they finally get freaked out. I could read a whole book of that. But it is the book that, and it's a shame to sort of talk about it because I don't want to spoil other people's reading experience of it. But it goes on to look at the much more serious side of this subject and investigate what's going on. But at what point did you realize, just as a Twitter game and a bit of fun that people were going to follow, was it straight away or did it take a little while? Do you remember?
No, it took a while because to start with, I was just deleting these guys and sort of blocking them. And then I started to do this thing that I do because I was bored. And I asked this man called Raymond to put various fruit and vegetables up my bottom to see what he would say. And he didn't really understand. So then I started sending emojis of various fruits and vegetables. And he still didn't understand and ultimately blocked me. And I thought, hello, this is good fun. So I posted it on Twitter. And I think at this point, I probably only had about 300 followers. It was just a bog standard Twitter account. And suddenly people were really engaged with it and retweeting it. And then I did one which is currently my pinned tweet about a pilot.
Yes.
And you'll know this if you've read the book, where this guy said that he was a pilot and he was flying to Stockholm. And I said, oh, great, I'll come and meet you. And it got more and more extreme. And I'd booked a hotel and then I'd booked a wedding venue. And eventually he blocked me. And suddenly it just blew up and people were retweeting and it was crazy. And then I got an agent and then there was the book and it just was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But I thought when people first started talking about doing a book, I thought it was going to be one of those ones, like you said, where you just flick through and it's just a load of speech bubbles about my tweets. That's what I was expecting, like a book that I could read on the loo. You know, like one conversation is the ideal length for a poo.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. And then my agent said, no, hang on a minute. There's absolutely loads of content here if you start looking into it.
Yeah.
And by this point, lots of genuine victims of romance fraud had got in touch with me and said, this is what happened to me. And I thought, my God, this is a massive thing. And the more I looked into it, again, I don't want to spoil it for people, but there's human trafficking, there's voodoo, the subject is immense. And I could have written about 9 books on it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's really, really impressive for that. And I think that sort of that switch of gears, it's still funny all the way through. And, you're making jokes and you are, you know, but it does become a different thing. And you do. And I think, again, like with the International Women's Day, Men's Day thing I did, I think when I wrote the book about it, but also the more I thought about it, the more I realised there was something a bit more serious going on underneath. So, like, it's very funny to take the piss out of scammers and it feels like, yeah, well done, you've got one back on these scammers for being, idiots and horrible people. But equally, you know, why are they doing it? Why are people susceptible to it? Because to most people, I mean, I really thought about this and I was reading it to me and thinking, yeah, but, you know, like who, I was doing the thing that you say is awful and thinking, yeah, but, you know, why would anyone send money to someone that they've never met? But A, you think about this before the internet and you talk very openly about, a romantic attachment that was horrible and you would face it in real life that you had a terrible time with. And I thought about that and I thought, yeah, well, I've been out with people who, you know, you fall in love with someone and just because you've met them doesn't mean they're not going to scam you or be something that they say they're not. I think of myself as an intelligent person. And I've been scammed in real life. I got scammed by a bogus landlord who took like a big deposit off me and my then girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's exactly what happens in the book. I mean, I was I was really suspicious of it, but he had so much stuff backing him up. You felt like it has to be real, and then you've invested so much in it. It's sort of like life. It's like any belief system. People invest so much that they can't get out of it if it turns out to be a con, which most belief systems will turn out to be. And, you know, even by the time I went to the house, I knew by then because I'd run the utility places and realised they weren't expecting anyone to move in. Everyone else turned up who'd equally been conned by this guy and were expecting to be moving. You know, he got us all to arrive at the same time. It was just horrible.
Wow.
But you know, yeah, I fell for this thing partly because I thought, well, I am clever and I would see through this and how can he have an office? You know, I can just go to his office and say, why did you not give me my flat? But it was all, you know, carefully worked out. He did get caught.
Yeah. And interestingly, God, I shouldn't say this, but I can't remember whether I covered it in the book. But I wrote a piece for The Guardian last week.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I said in there was that people who believe that they're above this kind of thing often end up becoming a victim because they sort of think, oh, well, I'm too clever for that.
Yeah.
And as a result, they're not looking out for it. They don't believe they're the right target market. And what makes it worse is that because of that, they then think, oh, God, well, I'm not going to report it because I'm one of those stupid people that I had a go at before. Yeah. So it's a really interesting thing.
It is interesting. And, you know, and there's a story there about a detective, a female detective who, the ball's on the guy to think I'm going out with a detective and I'm going to try and con her. And he did meet up with her. So it was a bit different. But, you know, that she was still able to fall for that despite everything else. I mean, it's because people are, you know, the people who, if you cast your net wide enough, as the internet shows, there'll be people there who are vulnerable, have something in their life going on that means they want to latch on to someone else, or just lonely, which a lot of people on the internet will be. And therefore, you only need to catch 1 in 1,000 or whatever.
This is it. So the fraudsters, when you actually see footage of them, so they sit on, let's say, dating sites, and they will like every single female profile. So they're not just scamming one person at a time. They're like you say, they're casting their net as wide as they possibly can because they think, oh, somebody's going to bite. And as soon as they do, that's it. They latch on. And if somebody's on a dating site and they are looking for love, then that is a slight vulnerability, I guess, in that, you know, everything else in your life might be amazing. The women I've spoken to, they have been articulate, intelligent, attractive. They've had good social lives. They are not the stereotype of this kind of lonely middle-aged woman sitting and crying into her chocolate, you know, that's not always how it is.
No, but it's. I think it's sort of interesting that, because I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I've been married with my wife for 16 years, and I was just thinking how awful it would have to be to go back to dating again. And so I'm glad that I'm not dating. But if you've been in a relationship for 20 years and your husband leaves you or your husband dies, you don't, and then you come into this new world and the dating, even since in the 16 years I've been with my wife, there was a little bit of internet dating at the 16 years ago, but not much. And so
that's like, probably Friends Reunited, wasn't it?
Yeah, right, it was. It really was. And and so the landscape's completely changed. So you wouldn't, you know, you'd be befuddled by it, and I would feel, oh God, well, I'm nearly 60 now. No one's going to be interested in me. So you would latch on to. You do say in the book, you are concentrating on mainly females being scammed. But it obviously does happen to guys as well.
It's 50-50, statistically.
Yeah.
But I actually, during the process of this, I was told how many scammers were on Tinder.
Yeah.
So I went on and I met my now fiancé.
Right.
So it through the process of looking for internet fraudsters, I found, well, I hope he's not a fraudster. That would be a whole other book.
Have you met him yet? Have you actually met him in person?
No. Nope.
Okay, no. But it's probably fine. Does he ask for money? I just need some money to buy you.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, well, you know, it is. But that's most people. I mean, most people will be the same as you. And most people will be honest to some degree. You know, like it. But it's all. It's so interesting, I think, this book, because it makes you think about all sorts of things. It makes you think about balance in relationships, and like often, if there's even an imbalance in a relationship, one person holds the cards and the other person doesn't. You know, in a working relationship, that can be unhealthy.
Yeah.
But equally, a completely equal relationship can be wrong for some people as well. So some people want to be have someone to do everything for them and are happy to do that, and some people are happy to be the person who's not in control of the relationship. And obviously sexually people like all sorts of different things, so it is such a complex thing. And there's I've been in relationships where you think, yeah, well, I should not have been with that person, and that person, they weren't scamming me. It's a bit like the one you talk about. You don't feel you're being scammed, but you'd spend money on people.
Yeah, and they take the piss.
And they weren't saying who they were, and I used to lend money to people, and I remember I was with one girlfriend, and I told about all the people I'd lent money to, and how none of them had ever repaid me, and we'd sort of broken up by this stage, and she said, oh look, I know this is a weird thing to ask after you just told me that, but I really need £1,000 right now, and I will pay you back straight away.
And did you?
And I paid. I gave it to her, and she never paid me back. What the worst one I had, where I lent someone this. I had a kind of nightmare relationship, which was a lot of fun though, and we were both crazy, and it was 20 years ago. And I lent. She had credit card problems, and I lent her like about $4,000, and then we broke up, and she had no money, and it never came back. I imagine she went to, I've not seen her since. I imagine she went to something like Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or something, because 7 or 8 years later, she got in touch and said, I want to pay you back that money. And she actually did pay me back the money. So that was kind of extraordinary, but nobody else has.
To be honest, the relationship that I talk about in the book, I've got no chance of getting that money back.
No, exactly. So you will be kind, obviously you're in a relationship, you'll be kind to someone and say, yeah, you need some money, I've got some money, I'll buy this or whatever. You're not necessarily expecting the money back, but you might lend money to someone you're in love with. So it's not like an unheard of proposition. So yeah, I think it's so interesting. And I think it did really make me think. Because the stories you tell and the approaches these guys come at you with, I mean the celebrity ones especially that are so hilarious, are so ludicrous, and it feels so impossible that anyone would believe Keanu Reeves or Mick Jagger, the one you've done recently.
Michael.
Yeah. That Mick Jagger would get in touch and saying, I'm a bit short of money. Can you send wire me some money across? And that anyone would fall for that. But, we're all susceptible, and we're all, stupid in our own ways, and we'll make our own mistakes. And it isn't, as you point out, it isn't the victim's fault. Because being scammed I know, and I felt humiliated, especially by that landlord, because I'd suspected so much and still gone with it. I felt absolutely humiliated. I cried, you know, I was crying down the phone to my friend when I found out about it. And, you know, you feel so stupid, and it's exactly that. You don't want to then, unless you're a comedian or someone on who's going to write a book about it, you don't want to reveal your worst stupidities to the world. So, it's a great book for that reason, but I think also just that looking into the seriousness of it all, and you don't have much sympathy for the scammer. So a lot of these scammers are, you know, African. So that's the stereotype, but it's a lot of them are Nigeria, and that is, you know, there's a stereotype, but there's a truth to it. You talk about them saying they're doing it to get back at the white man, the white man for oppression.
Yeah, some of what they've said. It's a horrible stereotype. So as you'll know, I went into this thinking, right, I'm going to dispel this myth. I'm not going to talk about Nigerians and Ghanaians. And then when I did my research, I've got to face the truth. But yeah, when I've seen, so people have sent me responses from some of these guys, and they've said, you know, they've come out with the most awful stuff and said, well, look, white people took money from us for centuries, and this is the way that we get it back. But obviously the way they phrased it is very, very different. It's very aggressive. And frankly, I can't bring myself to say it. But it's absolutely vile. And it's this kind of... I don't know how to describe it. It made me feel really grubby.
Yeah.
Really, really grubby. As if, you know, ripping off somebody from their life savings is in any way some sort of payback for centuries of colonialism. I don't know. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And frankly, it's an excuse.
It's an excuse.
It's a dreadful, dreadful excuse.
But you can see why they would be able to process it in that. I mean, I think that's just interesting because, I think I agree with you. But you can see why they would be able to think that. And, I have a little bit more sympathy with them on that point of view than I think you do, because you sort of think, well, they're not choosing the right targets, but people like this never do. But yes, they are, you know, spending the money on themselves. So,
yeah, I think that's largely the thing, isn't it? You know, it's they sort of talk about that this is payback. But then their payback is that they take money from an individual who can't afford it, and then they spend it on trainers.
Yeah.
You know, I like you, I understand where that comes from, because they will have been taught that. You know, it's not something that they've just come up with. That will have been passed down as, you know, that the white man is evil and needs to be taken revenge against, if you like. I get that. But I don't get taking from somebody who can't afford it and spending money on making your car low down and make that awful noise that they make. That's what I don't get.
I mean, you've actually contacted some scammers and had conversations with them and tried to work out what they're doing. And I get, you know, they won't. I mean, the book is so full of so many things you won't have thought of, that some people are being forced into scamming themselves anyway, you know, like in the human trafficking sense.
In Southeast Asia,
there's all sorts of things going on there. But they won't, you know, if you're doing a crime like this, it feels victimless, or they assume that these people will have huge amounts of money. Obviously, you present it'd be great to be able to have them see this book, because you really present the emotional and financial and everything, you know, the fallout from it all is absolutely terrible for a lot of these people, you know, and it can destroy lives and can destroy relationships. I'm sure, you know, as you say, a lot of this stuff probably isn't even reported, just because people feel sort of so ashamed of having been conned and given away all their, you know, their savings.
They do. And also, you know, the reporting process that we have in this country is so poor.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's a lot of people feel, understandably, that it's just not worth doing.
Yeah.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yeah, no, I don't want to talk too much about it because I want people to discover this for themselves. But I found it. I really, you know, I think that my expectations of the book were so sort of confounded, and I liked the book that it started being, and then I really loved the book that it turned into as well. So it will really make you think about all of these things, and, you know, hopefully help people who have been scammed. Hopefully help people not be scammed. But I think it will. I can't see it stopping, right? Even however much you educate people, this is just a human frailty that will be exploitable to some degree for as long as we're here.
Because humans will always want to love, and we'll always want to be in love and to be loved. So it's kind of it's the easiest thing in the world, really, because you can't protect against the heart.
No.
You know, that sounded really mushy, but it's true. You know, we all want to be loved, you know, otherwise there wouldn't be so many online dating things. And it's just, somebody said to me that first they burgle your wallet and then they burgle your heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. So unlike any other type of fraud, it's a double loss because you're losing money, but then on top of that, you're losing a future that you thought you had.
Yeah.
So it's worse, I believe.
Yeah, it's a really, really horrible crime. And, you know, there's so many, I think the extraordinary, there's a couple of stories in there about people, the scammers revealing that they're a scammer halfway through and the person still sending the money and the scammer saying, but I have actually fallen, I am a scammer, but I've actually fallen in love with you. And then still get, because, you know, the world at the moment, people double down, I guess, you know, on good things and on bad things. And that seems to be the internet that, you know, you rather than get out of it, I understand how it's difficult once you've invested anything in, whether it's emotional, money or whatever, it's very difficult to not think, but I've got all, you know, if you're gambling, like I play poker. I know you used to have an issue with gambling, but if you're gambling, you know, you're still thinking, well, I've got to chase that money that I've lost.
Exactly. And as you know, I talk about that, the fact that, you know, I used to gamble far too much on the internet, and you think, oh, okay, I know that I've really fucked this up, but I'm just going to stick another 50 quid in because that might be the difference. And then, of course, that goes. And then you might stick 50 quid in and win 200, but you've already lost a grand. So you think, oh, I'll just put the rest in. And it is the same because the second that you stop putting money in and you have to think about what you've lost, that's when you have to start dealing with it. And that's the most awful thing, whether it's a relationship breakup, whether it's fraud, whether it's gambling, whatever it is, when you have to face, and I refer to it as that moment, oh, it's hideous.
Yeah.
And a lot of us will do anything we can to put off that moment.
Yeah, and it's all through life. I think, you know, in poker, you really see it. In poker, someone will invest in so much and then someone goes all in and they call, even though they've definitely not won. But, they, you know, there's no way they could have won. And they'll still, they've got a terrible hand if they call. And you go, why did you, you know, you must have known you were losing at that point, but you just, there's something in your brain. And again, I think especially online, I think that, you know, you might spot things more in real life, but not with a good scammer and a charming scammer. But I think online, it doesn't feel real. I found with gambling online, which I had not a huge problem with, but a little problem with, is none of it feels real. And it doesn't feel like real money. If you were putting across real money, I think you would think about it.
Do you know, I say this to people all the time. So I will happily go to a casino now, even though I had a gambling addiction. I'll go into a physical casino because let's say I think, right, I've got 100 quid. Once that goes, that's it. I'm done because it's handing over money. But online, I just spend thousands because it just comes out your bank account and it's not a real thing until you then go on and check your bank account and you think, oh, fuck's sake. And it's the same with sending money to a fraudster. It doesn't really feel like money because you're just kind of pressing a button. You're just sending something through PayPal or, you know, you're just buying a gift card, just a small amount. It doesn't feel real until you add it all up.
And a lot of things, you know, I mean, gambling is borderline fraud anyways. I mean, it's a fraud that we all enter into, but the people who are running the gambling sites are definitely going to make money and you're almost certain to lose money. And so it might be legal and it plays on the same emotions. It doesn't they're not allowed to be emailing you, go come and do a bit more. Though they sort of still manage to get, even when they send out a thing saying, oh, we're very gambling aware.
And I know
that that's just reminding you, you know, you'll go to the site and gamble a bit because they've reminded you the site exists. So, you know, there's obviously, like in every human interaction, whether it's financial or emotional, there is an element of, you know, playing the cards you're dealt and working out where your levels are.
Yeah, of course.
And there's people who'll con you in lots of different ways. You know, it's really, I mean, I just think it's such a fascinating subject about humanity and you know, you cover it brilliantly and it does, and to get into the nitty gritty of it, for you to have found, to be able to talk to some of the scammers, I think is extraordinary, but to have found out so much about how they operate, their manuals, their kind of secret code words and stuff that they've got. So I love the fact that it's, you know, this humorous idea and this fun idea, and you know, it's in a way quite a glib, throwaway, silly thing. I'm going to show up this thing that we, you know, most of us know is this guy is ridiculous, and so let's show how ridiculous he is. I love that it's got this really proper serious edge to it while still remaining a really funny book. I mean, you've got lots of fantastic celebrity endorsements for it, but I'm sure,
you know, that's the strangest thing. I mean, you're gonna have to give me an endorsement. This is recorded and I will be putting everything that you've said on the cover. While I was writing the book, because it's my first book, I was thinking, oh, this is shit. No one's going to like this. This is horrible. I hate it. I hate everything I've ever done. No one likes me. So I had this massive, horrible thing of self-doubt. And still, when it was going through the editing process, oh, God, this is awful. And then I sent it. I was very, very lucky that I had quite a few celebrities follow me on Twitter. So, of course, if somebody follows you, you're able to message them, so they couldn't get away. I thought, right, that's it. I'm going to be cheeky. And I asked a load of people who followed me whether they would review it. And they all said yes. And then suddenly I thought, shit, all these people that I really like and really admire are going to read my book. And the first person to come back was Jane Fallon, who obviously is Ricky Gervais's partner, but she's a best-selling author in her own right.
Yeah.
And she came back and she loved it. And I thought, oh, but still I was thinking, well, she was probably really bored or, you know, having an off day, or God, maybe she just didn't want to say anything horrible. I mean, she seems really nice. And then Daniel Finkelstein from The Times came back and he said, this is incredible. It's striking journalism. And I thought, fuck me. And then when the other reviews started to come back, I thought, God, maybe actually it's all right. Maybe it's quite good.
It is good. And I think what I like about it is that you still very much come across as yourself. So although that's why it suddenly why, you know, you're very bubbly and happy-go-lucky and funny and, you know, and flippant. And so, you know, and self-mocking and you're not taking yourself too seriously. So for it to change into this book that is giving proper insight is really, you know, it's more striking, I think, as a result of that, having got to know you through the first part of the book and the funniness of it. And then to see you really get interested in this as a, you know, as a normal person rather than as a journalist, but then it becoming like, wow, this is a proper thing I haven't seen explored. And this has made me think about this subject in a way, in a depth that I would never have thought about it, you know, both in both directions, about why the people are doing it and why people are, susceptible to it.
Is that people who read it, I think some people are going to pick it up and think, right, I'm going to read this and I'm going to take the piss out of the people who, you know, get duped by these scammers. And what I'm hoping is that they'll start off and then as the book goes on, they'll think, oh, maybe there's more to it than I thought.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, just thinking about the reviews, The Telegraph reviewed it and they gave me 3 stars. And I was really cross because I remember saying to my other half, if they give me 1, that's quite funny because I can do something on social media with that. If they give me 5, great. I said, the worst thing they can possibly give me is 3. And then when I read the review, the reason that they marked it, so they called it an entertaining debut. They said it was an interesting look at this, that and the other. One of the reasons they marked it down is because they said it was written in a vulgar manner akin to Caitlin Moran. Right. I took that as a massive compliment. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. I love Caitlin Moran. And then I looked up her book and they gave her 2 stars.
Yeah, I think there may be some politics going on there rather than a fair review. But yeah, I, you know, it is, you know, it is vulgar, and I would say that's a great thing. You know, the vulgarity of your responses and of you know, I don't think being personally speaking, as a vulgar man, I don't think being vulgar is a bad thing. And I think this,
I'm all for a knob joke.
Yeah, really. and this and maybe I've occasionally done one of those. But you know, I think this subject warrants it as well because it's, you know, because of the, you know, it's such an interesting and deep subject, and it, you know, it's at the heart of humanity. It's really really interesting. You published through Unbound. We've had a few people on from this, which is obviously people donate to make the book happen. I think it would have been good if you'd just got the donations and then not written the book. That would have been the best book.
The ultimate scam. It would have been hilarious. And then I actually sent the book out and it was just blank.
Yeah, you should have. And people would have learnt a lot from that.
Yeah. Or just have on the front page, got you. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
But it is a great, it's an interesting way of publishing, and there's so many great books coming out from Unbound now as well. But it's
do you know, it's hard work. The team at Unbound are amazing, but it's hard work because you crowdfund for the initial what it would cost to make the book.
Yeah.
Because you have to crowdfund for that and it's a fair amount of money. It tends to work for people who've got a decent social media following because of course those people will think, yes, I'll effectively you're pre-ordering.
Yeah.
And that's how the money is raised. And I think generally they say you should be able to do that within about a year. And mine was done in 3 weeks.
Right.
So the appetite was huge. But I think, just like you, I think people think they're getting a different book to what they are. So many people have said, oh, I can't wait to read this. It's going to be hilarious. This is going to be the funniest book ever. And part of me is thinking, oh, no, it's not. It's not. And the other part of me is thinking, ha! No, it's not.
But I think, you know, you're still, the humour's there throughout. But yeah, there are some really, all that you treat the serious subjects with the seriousness that they warrant and need. And there are, you know, the stories from the women who've been scammed are heartbreaking. But, you know, they're so simply and properly told without judgment. And, you know, it's a really delicate line to tread, and you do that brilliantly. So, you know, I don't think anyone will be disappointed, because you still get that. You still get the book that you wanted to get, I think, if that's what you, this is just, you know, and no one really, if they're following you on Twitter, they don't want just a book of just all your Twitter printed out.
Well, I didn't think that, because they can just go back onto Twitter and just scroll through and not pay your tenner for it.
So, you know, you're giving them more, and obviously you're giving them background anyway, even if it was that book. And I have to say, if it was that book, it would still be a perfectly acceptable and fantastic book. But it is more than that. So, you know, I find it very interesting. You're very obsessed with Greg Davis. I've put him behind me there. He's behind me throughout the
yes,
book.
Yes, and do you know, I did a big interview for The Times recently, and I need to be careful what I say to people, because I mentioned Greg Davis when I was talking to this journalist, and I said, I would climb that man like a tree. And she put it in the article. I'm like, oh, no.
I think Greg gets, I was going to say, you know, I know Greg, and if you give me 250 quid, I can introduce you to him.
Done.
Yeah, okay. They said, why be the 250 quid through? There may be some further expenses. Damn, they're like, oh, he's a bit ill. He's working on an oil rig at the moment, so he can't get over.
Yes, understood, though. It'll be there. I'd send whatever.
With the Habs, that was the first time I saw you, was on Twitter. That was the one that got retweeted to me. And it was the one where you're making your way to the oil rig and get shipwrecked.
Yes.
And send photos. Yeah. It is a fantastic one, so look out for that. But yes, but Greg, Greg's a, you know, he does a lot of people, I have to say. I was going to say women, but I'm sure it's across the board. I don't know if it's just the Taskmaster thing.
No. Yeah. My obsession started on The Inbetweeners.
Right.
I don't know why. I don't know why. My best friend said to me that I have a thing for sneery men. So, because I used to, my childhood crush was Rick Mayall.
Yes, well, yeah.
So, of course, you can imagine on Man Down, when there was Rick Mayall and Greg Davis, oh my God, kept pausing that, just staring at it. Rick Mayall, Alan Rickman was another one.
Right. You're the kiss of death. We'll look out for Greg. I'm worried, worried about
Greg. Do you know
Greg
what? There is that. A couple of people have said to me, why does everybody that you fancy drop dead suddenly? Oh God, I don't know. Yeah, maybe warn him. He's lasted longer than the others.
That is true.
But yeah, and one of the interactions that I loved most, and it is in the book, because I know you've seen it, is when this guy pretending to be Liam Neeson video calls me. And a friend of mine had bought me this Greg Davis mask, and it's pinned on my fridge. And so this guy video called me, and I thought, ooh. And I just put the mask on and answered it. And he said, and when he cut off the call, he said, why did you have that on your face? And I said, oh, sorry, I didn't realise. And he just went, okay.
Oh, dear. Well, look, it's worth following you on Twitter, where tell us your Twitter handle.
It is Becky. Death to Spinach.
Death to Spinach, yeah. Okay, Death to Spinach.
Which is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, when I first started this, I had no idea at all that I was going to be doing what I'm doing. So I just picked something which represents my feelings about a particular vegetable. And I just ran with that because it was available. And now I am the spinach woman. Which is awful. It's just awful. I've seen conversations where people have said, can someone tag me into that spinach woman? Oh, God, that's me.
I liked in there's a very funny, again, recent chat with someone called Coke Can Greg, who was...
Greggles.
Who I think you've had a long correspondence with, but who was you know, trying to make allusions to the size of his penis. It's a very funny thing. Look it up. But my actual favourite thing about it, you're quite crazy. He says he's going to deactivate his account because you're being so
that's
weird.
Right, yeah.
But then he says, what I love about it, I'm deactivating my account. I'll message you from another account somewhere later this month. So it's like you've done this crazy thing, which I'm not going to spoil. Look it all up. And no one's picked up on that. He says some when this month, which is fun. But just the idea that, I'm going to deactivate my account. But, yeah, I'll get back in touch with you. Even though I think you're a serial killer, it's fine.
Don't worry, darling. Do you know, Greg and I have been doing this dance for 18 months. That's how long it's been going on.
Yeah.
And the day that he actually, this is all done through Instagram, but the day that he leaves Instagram or blocks me or something, I'm going to have to dress in black for like a month because I will be in a period of mourning.
Do you think there's any chance that he's just someone writing a book about how funny it can be if you pretend to be a scammer and the ridiculous stuff that women will say or in return?
I would love that. That'd be amazing. I genuinely would. Sometimes I think that he's going to message me and say, right, this has all been a joke. And I think the only response that I will have is, well played, Greg. Well played.
It could be Greg Davis. It could be Coke Can Greg. Could be Greg.
No, I like to think that Greg Davis's appendage is much bigger than Coke Can Greg's.
Wow, okay.
I've thought about it.
I have too, and probably had a chance to have a look.
Let's face it, everyone has.
Well, look, you can. The book's available everywhere, right? So you can. By the time this is out, it will be out. So it's called Keanu Reeves Is Not in Love with You, and I'd thoroughly recommend it. It's really funny, but also it's actually very important that people read this as well. And lots of advice about how to avoid scams. Like if people are telling you they're on oil rigs or they're a soldier and they need money, they won't need money because they're looked after by the oil rig or the army. That's the nature of those businesses, which I think is very interesting because those are two of the things. Well, pilots, who again are wealthy, celebrities. Keanu Reeves doesn't need any money. And people
don't
who work in oil rigs.
Don't say that. Sent him thousands.
It's great. You'll love it all. It's really great. Are you a big reader yourself? Is there anything you're reading at the moment you'd like to recommend to...
Oh, interesting. I'm halfway through a book by Lucy Easthope.
Okay.
And I wish I could remember what it's called, but she is she's an expert in when disasters happen.
Okay.
She is fascinating. If I could remember what it was called, I would recommend enough. It. But if you look her up,
yeah,
it's great. But I have this habit of, and I've just finished Big Beacon by Alan Partridge.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I've got that, Molly. Oh, my goodness. I was laughing out loud on my own, like a maniac, in my UDI, looking like a crazy person. I was laughing my arse off. Absolutely brilliant. But my friend has said the audiobook is even better because obviously it's read by, you know, Steve Coogan pretending to be Alan Partridge. But I have this habit of, I'll read something very serious and horrible. Somebody's experience of being kidnapped by ISIS. I'll read that and I'll get to the end of it and I think, oh my God, that was awful. So then I'll read something really funny.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh, that's too lighthearted. What are you doing? So then I'll go back to something really awful.
Yeah.
And it's like a self-induced emotional roller coaster.
Well, that's why your book is like it is. So your book is more about it. You got fed up of being funny. Let's be really serious.
Yes,
let's be funny again. It's good. And what do you have any plans for another book? Is there, like you say, it feels like this. Do you? Will it be the same area, or will you?
Maybe it won't. It?
Okay.
No, that's to be honest. I am looking into something else, but at the moment it's just very. Tentative. I think there's a book in it. Not sure. Maybe I'll tell you when we're not recording.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, we'll look out for it. for the moment, buy this book. You honestly will not be disappointed. Really love to meet you, Becky. Keep up the fantastic work on Twitter as well.
I will.
If you don't want to buy the book, just follow Becky on Twitter and you get
don't
most.
Say that.
You get most.
If you don't want
nothing.
To buy the book, you'll be blocked.
Don't try and scam her. If I was a scammer, I would definitely try and scam you. Because imagine the kudos in the scamming world. You could go back and go, I got her. She sent me £10,000.
Yes.
How did we do it? It would be amazing. Don't be a scammer. Horrible people. Absolutely. Having been conned, it was one of the absolute worst experiences of my life. For all the reasons you say, because it's about your... yourself, it's your ego, and it's about, you know, you've been intruded in. It's, you know, when I was going to move in with my girlfriend at the time, and we ended up breaking up, you know, as I think as a result. But if we'd lived together, he may have saved me a terrible relationship. But if we'd lived together, we might have made it work. So you're absolutely intruding on people's lives, and nearly always, I think, you'd be taking money from, you know, you might think in your mind, oh, I'm taking money from rich people who can afford to get rid of it, but you're not. You're taking all the money from someone who can't afford to give.
Exactly.
It, which was really exactly my case with this landlord. But I think it pretty much in every case in your book, I think they're taking all the money from someone who doesn't really have the money. Yeah. So
definitely.
It's an absolutely horrible crime. So stop doing it, scammers. There, you've heard that.
Pack it in.
That should sort it out, Becky. Yes. They all listen to Ralastafa.
Right, next, let's tackle war. Stop it.
They should stop that as well. We're right about everything. Thanks so much for doing this. It's really lovely to meet you virtually.
Yes, you're welcome.
And I'm just disappointed you're not wearing the Greg Davis mask, but never mind. We'll be back next week with more.
I did think about this.
It's a tricky wank, but I would have made. That's a Greg Davis. Yeah, I was a reference to Greg Davis on the podcast. Right, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.